Today FM's Dermot and Dave.
Now, when Christian Eriksen collapsed on the pitch on Saturday, the football part of Euro 2020 seemed suddenly irrelevant, and the shocking scenes as his own teammates circled around his seemingly lifeless body on the pitch will stick with people and sports fans for a long time to come. Thankfully, he's in hospital, he's awake, he's stable, and hopefully on the mend. But it obviously sparks the debate of just why it happened, why it seems to happen to people who are super fit and athletes in general across all kinds of sports. So we decided to get an expert to just talk us through what actually happened to Eriksen and give us a little bit of insight into how his life was saved on the pitch. Dr. David Burke is consultant cardiologist at the Beacon Hospital. Morning, Dr. Burke.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Great. Nice to talk to you again. Shocking scenes on the pitch. I don't know, were you actually watching it as a sports fan yourself over the weekend?
I watched it afterwards. It's a very distressing thing to see, isn't it? It's very sort of difficult to watch that. I suppose the TV coverage got criticism for kind of what they actually showed as well, but that was kind of a different discussion. But yeah, it's tough to watch and obviously not common nowadays, but and I suppose it was a good outcome in the end, which is something.
Yeah, so let's talk about what actually happened. And as the throw-in came in and the ball was thrown towards Christian Eriksen, he just ignored the ball and fell to the floor. So what was happening in those opening seconds of this happening to him?
You could see him sort of lean, couldn't you? He kind of leaned and leaned, and then the ball bounced off his leg and then down he went. So I suppose that was at the point where his heart was actually stopping. He had a cardiac arrest, which basically means your heart has stopped, and I suppose down you fall because the oxygen and the blood is not getting around your system. The key question for somebody like him, as you say, is why exactly would it happen? And the answer is it's hard to know. I suppose at this stage there's a lot of speculation in terms of what it could be. He's a young guy, he's only 29, so exactly that. He's very fit, very active, very well, and very unlikely for something like this to happen.
And go ahead.
The footballers in particular, all sports people go through a lot of cardiac screening, and particularly him. I mean, he would have moved clubs a couple of times. He's now in Inter Milan, and the Italians in particular are renowned for the degree of screening that they do, both for sports people but also even teenagers in school. They screen all of those to look for potential issues. So he certainly would have had lots of testing over the years, and obviously nothing cropped up along the way.
In terms of his resuscitation on the pitch, just how important was that? I mean, did they literally save his life in that moment?
To be fair to them, yes, they did, and it was a good example of how to do it. They did it very efficiently, and that's the key. So what you're really trying to do is minimize what we call downtime, or that amount of time that you're on the ground with no cardiac output, so no blood pumping around the body. And it's one of those true scenarios where seconds count, they really do. But you could see how quick they were. The captain, Simon Kerr, is getting a lot of praise for acting quickly, and to be fair, he did. He turned him and put him into the recovery position, which would open up his airway, and even that small I suppose measure would make quite a lot of difference. But a cardiac arrest is your heart has stopped and you have a chaotic electrical rhythm, and the only real way to get it back, actually, or the only usual way is to give the heart a shock, so an electrical shock. So they didn't show much of that, but CPR was started quickly, and then they defibrillated him, or they delivered a shock to his heart, and it seems to be that was what got things back up and running.
There's other instances of this happening. I can remember Fabrice Muamba, another player who, same thing, was just, you know, on the pitch in a match and just fell over. And again, thankfully, Fabrice managed to make a full recovery as well. So is it more common in fitter, sportier people, or are we just seeing different reporting, you know, that because it's visual to millions on a TV screen, we kind of think, oh, maybe this happens more in sport. But does it happen to people walking down the street?
Unfortunately, it does, yeah. I suppose the level of exposure when it happens mid-match in Euros, that's obviously going to reach lots of people. And that, you know, is unfortunate, but it does highlight the importance of all of these pieces, and here we are talking about it. So I suppose for you know, the less well known of us walking down the street who run into difficulties, this could hopefully help to save somebody's life by creating awareness and exposure.
It's Dermot and Dave on Today FM chatting to Dr. David Burke, consultant cardiologist at the Beacon Hospital, following Christian Eriksen's collapse on the pitch over the weekend. If somebody witnesses something like this, I mean, they may be afraid that they would do the wrong thing. What should someone do in this instance if they witness someone they know or don't know collapse in a similar manner?
Don't be afraid to do the wrong thing. You can't really make the situation any worse. The key is to act quickly, like we say, very much like they did on Saturday night. And the real key is to call for help. Lots of people don't do that. I suppose panic and don't get on with it. So call for help, ring for emergency services. And then we always talk about ABC. So A is airway, B, breathing, C, circulation. So the gist of it is you want to make sure that someone is breathing. And you try and open their airway, so it's basically just extend your neck, really, or put them into a recovery position. And then circulation is, you know, is their heart beating? Are they generating a heart output or pumping? That's obviously more complex stuff. The real key is to start CPR and start chest compressions. Now, it's a difficult one to describe on the radio, but I suppose you put someone flat on their back, you put the heel of your hand on their breastbone in the middle of the chest, you put your second hand on top and interlock your fingers. And what you're trying to do is press downwards towards the back for about 2 inches and then allow the chest to recoil. But you have to do that between 100 and 120 times in a minute for it to be effective. And that is designed to try and get the blood circulating or pumping around the body to some degree. What saved Christian Eriksen certainly was the electrical shock or the defibrillation. So you'll hear people talking about AEDs or automatic defibrillators, and they're a small box that you'll often see on the wall in shopping centres and in gyms and I suppose lots of different places now. And really the key is education in terms of both CPR and how to do it, but also how to use these devices. And they're actually very foolproof. They work themselves. They show you where to put the stickers on the chest, then it does everything for you. And if your heart is in an electrical rhythm or has stopped and needs a shock, you don't have to do anything. The device, the gadget, will actually do that for you, and it'll tell you to get out of the way, stay clear, and it'll do the trick. So they're very, very clever. But I suppose it's more knowing when to grab that and when to call for help.
Yeah, I suppose calling for help, as you said, is the first thing. All right. I mean, the defibrillator scenario, you see lots of them around. I know phone boxes have been turned into the old, because obviously no one effectively needs a phone box anymore, but phone boxes around the country have been turned into defibrillator stations so that they're in villages and places like that. And sports clubs tend to have them as well. Is it the kind of thing that every sports club should have if they don't?
Yes, there would be no argument against having one, certainly, and particularly when you see something like this. The incidents, or I suppose how common is this type of thing? The numbers that we would bandy around would be about 1 in 50,000 sports people. And like I say, that's very uncommon. And we talk about Saturday, we talk about Fabrice Muamba, which is, you know, 9 years ago. So thankfully, it's not common. But in the same breath, an AED saved both of those and lots of people. I'm sure everybody listening will know of somebody who dropped on a pitch at some stage along the way. So it certainly does happen. And time is really of the essence. If you can get the heart restarted and give it a jolt and shock it back into a pumping rhythm as quickly as possible, that's the key to the whole thing.
Finally, do you think they'll actually find something wrong with Christian Eriksen's heart, or is it going to remain a sort of a medical anomaly, a mystery?
I suspect we will never find out, but it's a strange one. Because he would have had lots of screening along the way, your heart breaks out into three pieces, really. So there's structure, there's the plumbing, and then there's the electrics. And most of the simple screening that he would have had or we would do for people takes out most of the structural and electrical issues, because most people would have been born with those. The only other piece then is the plumbing, but it's very strange for a 29-year-old fit athlete to have a heart attack. So it is a strange one. I'm sure they'll do all level of testing and figure it out. I'm sure they'll come up with something, but it is odd and I suppose unpredictable and definitely unlikely in somebody like him, but I suppose there you go.
And I suppose it does highlight again the need for first aid training to be familiar with CPR. I know I did it, and again it was a long time ago because I was having kids and I wanted to learn how to look after them if anything happened, but refreshing that would be a good idea. But see, like CPR training, first aid training for everybody would be really helpful.
Yeah, the Irish Heart Foundation certainly run courses around the country and around the year. And then they have a program called CPR for Schools, which tries to teach secondary school teachers with a view to them training students. And I suppose it will be a very simple thing to introduce into, you know, transition year for secondary school students.
Or even younger. My 8-year-old just only last week did a basic first aid course that was brought in by the school. And he knew straight away when this happened, he was watching the game with me and he knew about CPR. And like, I was just amazed that one little course he'd done for maybe it was an hour in whatever he's in, second class, and he knew straight away what CPR was and was explaining to me how to do it.
It also takes a little bit of the fear out of it when you're teaching children, because obviously they have less, you know, they're less bothered by it then. So absolutely. You were saying, you know, sometimes people will be worried they might do something wrong, but when you're teaching children and they become accustomed to it and then obviously see it, I think that's the way to go. But there are lots of videos even on YouTube that are incredibly, you know, helpful in terms of that. So even just to get a sense of what's involved, you don't have to go to a formal course to just get an idea of it. But yes, absolutely, education and then having the resources in place, but definitely call for help.
Once it happens, is there a high risk of it happening again? I mean, is Christian Eriksen's career essentially over now?
I suspect it probably is. It's going to depend on what they come up with in terms of what actually tipped things off. But I suppose if you've had a documented cardiac arrest, and obviously it's very well documented, the chances of it again are very high, unless they find a reversible cause. But I suspect there are very few reversible causes of it. I don't think he'll be able to play at the same level again, certainly not. One of the things that he would often get, I suppose, along the way is an implantable defibrillator, what's called an ICD. So it's like a pacemaker, essentially, and that will continue to monitor his heart. And if it were ever to stop again, it would deliver an automatic shock over the course of a second. So he will probably end up with something like that, I suspect. But in terms of a professional football career, pretty unlikely.
Yeah. Okay, Dr. David Burke, consultant cardiologist at the Beacon Hospital. Thank you for that this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Dermot and Dave. Listen live on air from 9 a.m. weekdays on Today FM.